بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد. Most respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver, inshallah, with the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we continue the malfuzat of Hazrat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullahi alayh. And as we have mentioned previously, there is great benefit in these anecdotes of these mashayikh, the akabir, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these anecdotes are all extracted from the understanding of Quran and Hadith. And they are means of us rectifying ourselves, reforming ourselves. There are so many things we have learned already in the past few weeks that we have overlooked. Yet, it was so important to bring these things in our life, to inculcate these things. Sometimes there are some weaknesses that are pointed out towards us, to us, which we overlook. And we don't realize the gravity of these things and how detrimental it becomes to iman, to our deen. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. Excess in honoring. At one place where Hazrat was a guest, a crowd had gathered to welcome him. It happens many times, the great personality, when he is going somewhere, visiting some person or some place, then people will throng around him. Two men walk slightly ahead of Hazrat on his right hand side and left hand side. And they were clearing a pathway for him. Soon, there was a street sweeper cleaning the road. So they're traveling somewhere, they're walking on the road. Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali is walking. In front of him, there are two men. They're clearing the path. And suddenly, there comes a street sweeper who's busy sweeping the street. The two men mildly rebuked the street sweeper and ordered the street sweeper out of the way. Becoming visibly annoyed, Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah said, "This is an excess in honoring one. My heart does not tolerate that I be distinguished in this manner. Listen carefully. The road does not belong to anyone. No one has control over it. This shunting people away to make way for the seniors is the way of the oppressors. The road is closed for their convenience. While they are in the road, others are debarred. This is not the act of Muslims. Just as there are bid'at innovations in aqaid, so too there are bid'at in a'amal, in deeds. To remove people from the road is a bid'ah. Even the elite, the ulama and mashayikh are careless in this respect. Honoring a person is permissible as long as others are not hurt or inconvenienced thereby." What a malfuz of Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali. Many of us ignore these type of malfuzat. Many of us engage in excess in honoring the person. Yes, you show adab, respect. That street sweeper was doing his or her job at that time. To shun that person, to push that person off the road, it is not correct. That person is on duty. And that person has the right to be there. You got love for your sheikh or a great personality that is there in his place. But you could politely ask the person to make way in a nice way. Oh, go past the person. You don't have to pass through the same way. The person is doing his or her job. Now these are things which Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali, somebody is respecting him. And he said this is excess in honoring. We don't deserve such type of honoring. He said this is making tajawuz of the had. They are hudud. They are limitations. You praise somebody, but there's a limit of praising. You honor somebody, there's a limit. He said, "My heart does not tolerate that I be distinguished in this manner." They had humility in them. They did not demand such respect. When Allah gave them respect, it was an honor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this type of respect where a person goes in front and pushes everybody else, we find very common. We have mashayikh coming, ulama coming, and some innocent person wishes to meet the person. Yes, if it is not the appropriate time, then politely you explain to that person that you come later, whatever it is. But if you are going to shun the person, then you will hurt his feelings. And that is far more worse. Or the seriousness of the sin of that is something very, very grave, very serious. So you're trying to honor the sheikh or honor the personality, whoever is there, guest. You are getting sawab for it, yes. But you do not trespass that limits. You don't cause eza to another Muslim. So these are things that we should bear in mind. We all fall into this type of vice and evil sometimes. We don't realize that the other people also have rights. Yes, if there is some program, then beforehand you make the necessary arrangements so that some type of accommodation is made for these mashayikh who are coming in, they are great people, they are elderly people. So sometimes they may be coming from some safar, they might be a bit delayed, they require to come in the front. So few people will make some adequate preparations for that. But this does not mean that you push everybody else aside. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. As well as the Thani Ramad was a specialist in the field of tasawuf, shariat and tariqah. He did not mince his words. People will take offense. Many times things are said so that we reform, rectify ourselves. He didn't mean to hurt any person's feelings. But he is showing us such a simple explanation that all of us require. It's not only a street sweeper, sometimes at home also. Sometimes in some other place, wherever we are, in the airport. Hazrat Mawlana Abrar al-Haq Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh, who was a Shaykh of Hazrat Hakim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh, was known as Muhyi Sunnah. He brought Sunnah alive. Absolutely, those of you who have met him and heard his talks, you know how staunch he was in following the Sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. His madrasa would be absolutely clean, spotless. Simple thing, like one day he went to visit some place and people all followed, Muridin and others. It was a public holiday and they were visiting some institution or some place. So people just parked their cars following the Hazrat in any way and they proceeded with him. When he came back, when he came out of the place which he visited, he asked, what are these lines here, the parking bays? What are they for? So somebody said, Hazrat, to park the car. He said, then why haven't you parked in your parking bays? Somebody said, no, it's a public holiday, so it's no problem. He said, no. Whether it's public holiday or no holiday, these things have been drawn out so people can park, and there must be a proper arrangement, there must be a proper tartib. This is the beauty of Islam. See our salat. If there was no standing together in safs, and anybody could be standing anywhere in the masjid, how would it look? How habit has it look? Sharia teaches us these small things. He's traveling with some person, the driver is driving, and you know we have these cat eyes on the road, and the person is going over all his cat eyes. So he asked, what is this for? He said, no, Hazrat, the night you can't see, so the light shines. He said, is it meant that we must go over it? He said, no. He said, then you park on the side, let somebody else drive if you don't know how to drive. Simple thing like that. We were here in Spingo Beach. We met Hazrat Hardui Rahmatullah Ali, Hazrat Mawlana Yunus Sahib, all of us, we met him. There were many ulama there. And the old Louis Botha airport, they had made special arrangements for Hazrat Hardui Rahmatullah Ali. VIP lounge, a small lounge. So no other people will be there. So mashallah, the big crowd. We all had gathered there, sitting there, people are talking, Hazrat is keeping quiet. After some time he got irritated. Instead of being involved in dhikrullah, people are talking futile things, almost time for salat. Then he asked somebody, this area that we have, we are sitting now, is it for other passengers as well? That person did not understand the question well. So he said, gee, it's for everybody, other passengers as well. Hazrat Hardui Ramadan, he was under the impression now, he did not know, nobody explained to him, the VIP lounge, exclusive, just for him. So when the time will be for boarding, he'll come out from that VIP lounge, and nobody else, no other passengers will be allowed. Somebody said, yeah, it's for everybody. So when he heard that, he said, and others will come, where will they sit? All of you have taken all those chairs and benches, where will they sit? Is it not time for salat now? How many minutes left for azan? It was Zohar time, almost time up for azan. He said, all of you go read namaz or jamaat in the masjid. He sent every person away. And then he said, only one person should remain with me, just in case there's some delay or some problem, then that person is there. He did not say, I'm a big sheikh and everybody must sit here and give taklif to others. No. So when you honor a person, there is a had in shariat. There is a limit. How we show that adab and respect and how we honor the person. Excess in honoring, this is against the shariat. This is the malfooz of Hazrat Thani wa rahmatullahi alayhi wa sallam. Allah give us tawfiq and hidayah to make amal inshaAllah. Hazrat Thani Ram, therefore you should say, if you want to become murid, then you go to somebody else's khanka. Lekin agar insan banna ho, then you come to me. If you become a human being, and learn how to deal and interact with people, and learn the etiquettes of Islam, and how to behave, and how to have a good akhlaq, and how not to hurt people, not to cheat, not to deceive, to speak with kindness, then you come and learn that here. But if you want some other wazifa, some type of dhikr, whatever it is, and you want to become a murid or something, then you go somewhere else, no problem. Now it seems as though Hazrat Thani was a very strict person. And outwardly it may seem that he may have been very hard. No. But this was for the sake of Islah. And the common example that we always give is the panel beating example. That if you're not going to panel beat that car, the dented car, the dent will not be removed. It will remain dented all the time it is parked over there. Our lives are passing away. And all these little things, the dents that we have in our heart, we are not prepared to change this thing. We're not prepared. We just want to say, I am murid of certain sheikh, or I'm in a certain silsila, bas. And we get happy with those things. No, that is a sharia. Those are all means of coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, provided they adopted correctly and following what is Quran, hadith, sunnah. That is not the maqsood. Maqsood is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what tasawuf is all about. Because we have not understood tasawuf correctly, we have taken just a few things, and we have made that the goal. And that is not the goal. The goal is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all those things that will make Allah ta'ala displeased and angry, those are the things we need to stay away from and refrain from. Our Hazrat Mawlana Rahmatullahi, in his life, we would find that he would not give taklif to any person, let alone Muslim, even non-Muslims also, he will not hurt. Now this is what tasawuf is about. This is equality Sahaba radiallahu anhu had. This is what Rasulullah preached day and night to the Sahaba. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. Shukr and sabr. Giving nasihat to a bedridden person in severe pain. We find this very common sometimes visiting some person in hospital, he's bedridden, he's in pain. So Hazrat gave nasihat to a bedridden person in severe pain. He could not perform salat, only lying in bed. Hazrat Rahmatullah said, this is sufficient. The only way he could read salat was in bed. Bedridden, he couldn't stand up and read salat like how a normal person would do. So obviously he was feeling bad about it. Hazrat Thani Rahman said, this is sufficient. Laying in bed and performing salat by the signs of the head. So by the means of the head, you are going ruku, sajda. Because this person is majboor. His excuse, this is his condition. He can't move, Allah save us. A person meets up with a terrible accident, a very severe operation, and he just can't move. Shariat is so beautiful, so easy, that even in this condition, you can still perform your salat. Hazrat says, continue reciting Allah, Allah with the tongue. If this too is difficult, then engage in zikr with the heart. Allah Ta'ala is the one who cures. Do not panic. Sins are being expiated. So this condition, the sickness that you have, Allah Ta'ala is forgiving your sins. Do not panic. These conditions will come to an end. Presently, difficulty is being experienced. But its value will be appreciated when the reward will be given. When a person is sick and he makes sabr, he has patience. So when he has patience and he accepts this decree of Allah Ta'ala. Now we talk about rada bil qada or rida bil qada, that my Allah has kept me in this condition. But I am happy with the condition Allah has put me into. Allah must not test us. But there's an explanation. The person is in this condition, he makes sabr, and he says, but Allah's hukam, I accept the condition Allah Ta'ala has put me into. So presently difficulty is being experienced, but its value will be appreciated when the reward will be given. But the reward for sabr is such, when a person sees the reward for sabr, comes in the hadith, and the akhirat, when the person will be shown, this is all the reward you got for all the sabr you made in life. He'll wish I was put through more difficulty, so that he could have made more sabr and enjoyed the benefit of it in the akhirat. But of course, we don't ask for sabr, we ask for afiyat. Rasulullah visited one sahabi, he was very sick, shivering. He was shaking. Rasulullah asked him, perhaps you made some type of dua. He said, I made dua, Allah must give me sabr. He said, then you invited a difficulty upon yourself. You invited the difficulty upon yourself. Always ask Allah for afiyat, safety from all type of illnesses, sicknesses, problems, difficulties, accidents, etc. But if it comes to you, then you would exercise sabr, and the reward for that is abundant. There's no limit. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. In prosperity, the mu'min makes shukr, that is, he's grateful. The sawab of shukr is acquired. In difficulty and pain, sawab of sabr is required, is achieved. As I say, do not become despondent. So this is the nasihat he gave to the sick person, bedridden in hospital or at home, unable to perform his salat, he's sitting feeling so low, so miserable. At that time, you give the person hope. Inshallah, you will come right. This condition will not remain with you forever. Even a person who has a disease like cancer, it's not easy what they go through. They go through great pains, great suffering. But you should pacify the person. Sometimes it is better to just remain silent, just smile at the patient. Don't ask the patient too many questions. They get irritated. We did not know the entire night they could not sleep. The whole day they were in pain. And now we insist, now we want to shake the person's hand, we want to do various things. I mentioned previously also, we are not doctors. And we want to read all those charts, we don't even know what drip they're putting there. And now we want to ask different stories. No. It should be a quick visit, unless the person wants you to be there. The person gets happy that you remain with him. And you speak to him. And that's a different case. Nonetheless, when you go visit a person who's sick, then you can tell him about the reward of sabr. And you tell him that this condition is not going to be forever. It has to end. It has to end. And the other one is shukr. When we have the ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we make shukr. And therefore the hadith of Rasulullah, we explained many times, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ mu'min. How beautiful is the condition of a believer. If it is some calamity that comes upon him, he makes sabr, and there is great reward for sabr. If it is happiness, prosperity, then he makes shukr. He thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, you have bestowed all these ni'mats upon me, these different favors and bounties. Ya Allah, I'm thanking you. I'm being grateful to you. This is the shukr the person makes. As I mentioned in one malfuz, that every single day, there are so many bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we take for granted. When we wake up in the morning, we don't even realize we've got life. We're able to see, we're able to hear, we're able to move, we're able to speak, we're able to function well. The air we're breathing in, the water we're drinking, the food, the breakfast we're having, we're going to work. All these are ni'mats of Allah. How many of us stop and ponder and thank Allah Ta'ala, Ya Allah, all this you're giving me. The air we're breathing in free, the food, the clothing, we're able to go to work, we're able to speak. These are such great ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah Ta'ala give us a tawfiq of making sabr. And shukr, of course, sabr. If the calamity comes, then we make sabr. We don't ask for the calamity. And make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the two roads that lead to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Either the road of sabr or the road of shukr. Ghibat, backbiting. All these things, as I mentioned previously, we had explained in great detail. But these are all miscellaneous malfuzat, anecdotes of Hazrat Thani rahmatullah alayh. And they serve as a reminder to us. A man who appeared to be a Maulvi, asked, is it possible to gain pardon for ghibat from a person whose ghibat was made? Many people ask the same question. I made ghibat of a certain person. Now, will I be forgiven? Can I ask for pardon? Hazrat said, yes, ghibat is pardoned. The man asked, should the ghibat, the backbiting, be clearly explained or mentioned in ambiguous terms? For example, merely saying, I've committed ghibat of you. Hazrat said, ambiguous terms are sufficient. So Mr. A made ghibat of Mr. B. Now he's worried because he has to ask for forgiveness. So when he goes to Mr. B, must he say, ask for forgiveness in general, or specifically mention that I have made ghibat of you? Hazrat said, no. Ambiguous terms are sufficient. Repetition will cause pain. If you go and tell the person, yeah, I made your ghibat, obviously it will cause him pain. Now he'll want to know, what did you say about me? Who did you speak to about me? Why you said this? And just use a vague term and ask for forgiveness. Nonetheless, this man, when he heard that ghibat can be pardoned, he said, Hazrat, I ask you to forgive me. I had made ghibat of you in a gathering. Hazrat said, I daily supplicate to Allah, O Allah, do not punish anyone because of me. In other words, because of any harm they have caused to me. I have forgiven all violations of my hukuk and rights. The man said, tell me explicitly that you have forgiven me. Hazrat said, I have forgiven you, not only the past, but for the future as well. I have forgiven all Muslims for any violations of my hukuk. The man said, Hazrat, now make dua for me. Hazrat said, may Allah Ta'ala grant you His love and firmness on the deen. These are malfuzat for us to make amal on. So easy to say it, but these were the real friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine somebody comes and say, I made you ghibat. Ghibat of Hazrat Thani rahmatullah. In where? Huge gathering. On top of that, now he asked, now you must forgive me. I want to hear clearly, please. Explicitly you must say you forgive. And on top of that, I make big dua for me also now. Hazrat Thani said, I forgive all the people who have violated my hukuk, have done wrong to me. I forgive them. And this person particularly told him, your past also, if you did anything wrong, you forgive. Future also, never mind, don't worry, I forgive you. Now we need, our Hazrat to explain, you need that type of heart. A very wide chest. Very broad chest. Our chests are narrow. I'm also victim of this. Somebody tells you something, immediately your face turns color, you get angry, agitated. You feel bad. Thoughts run at that moment. Hey, I must sort him out. But then if you ponder and reflect, isn't Allah Ta'ala watching? Isn't Allah Ta'ala hearing? No man, I'll forgive him for the pleasure of Allah. Allah Ta'ala will reward me. It takes a man. You have to be a real man to do this. You need courage. Really, you need a lot of courage. It's not easy. This is ghibat. Imagine if it's monetary, financial matters. And a person still forgives the person. In the hadith, you'll find it's not one example. Hundreds of examples of even people who owed Rasulullah SAW money, or who came and demanded the loan that they had given him before the due date, and the very harsh manner in which they spoke to Rasulullah SAW. He never frowned, he never became upset. With a smile, he overlooked them. Now these are all akhlaq, these are things that we have to do, we bring in our life, whether we're in the madrasa teaching, whether imamat in the masjid, whether we're in the schools, universities, in the shops, or the businesses, or the factory, or wherever we are. How many times the person says, man is mashallah, very pious in the masjid. But outside, oh, you hear how he swears. Seems like he's mashallah, very good. He's always moving with the pious people. But the wife says that, look how he speaks at home. He's abusive. Now these are the things which people can't see. In public, we pretend to be very Allah-walas. Privacy, our true colors come out. May Allah Ta'ala help us. Again, I'm going to say, this is what tasawwuf is about. It's not big bayans. Our Hazrat should say, I don't know why, these are the things just being reminded now. You see, not flowery speeches. It's got nothing to do with speech. It's all to do with the heart. And this heart has to become saf and pak and clean. And it can only become pak and clean if you keep on reminding ourselves of these type of anecdote, marfuzat. When you read Quran, we ponder, reflect. What is Allah talking about? What Allah wants from me? Am I a good Muslim? No, Mashayikh or Buzughani didn't say before sleeping, you make muraqabah. You take stock of yourselves, of your deeds. That from the morning till now, did I hurt any person's feelings? Did I make ghibah? Did I slander? Did I lie? Did I cheat? Did I swear? How much of Allah, Allah, he said? How much of Durood Sharif? You take a stock of all your deeds every single day. It takes about 5 minutes if you just ponder and reflect. And immediately, the wrongs that you have done will flash across your mind. So the moment you realize that, you must make tawbah, istighfar, and you make amends. See, tomorrow, inshallah, I will ask for forgiveness. If it's not too late. Otherwise, you phone the person. Every day we should be doing it. And the moment a person does this, then everything, hisab, kitab, will be done properly. And if there's no stock taking in our shops, what happens? You don't know what you got in your shop. If you sell your goods, you don't know how much to sell it for. So amal also we have to take hisab kitab. All the time. The moment there's a blunder, rectify it. If you don't do it, tomorrow there will be more blunders. End of the month, much more. May Allah Ta'ala give us the type of akhlaq that Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had. May Allah Ta'ala help us to turn towards him. A very simple malfuz of Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Alayhi says, think. Think. Before doing anything, think first. Do not do anything without thinking. Do not do anything without first thinking. You will then err very little. If you think before acting, the need for asking will be very little. Many things will then automatically be solved. Now, this is a simple thing. In our daily life also. If you don't think, in school you tell us, think before you ink, before you write the answer, and then now you need to erase it and no, scratch out everything and then repeat the whole answer. Think. Even when we speak, Hazrat Muhammad Rasulullah Rahmatullah used to say, pehle tol, phir bol. Weigh and measure your words before you speak. The moment you say something without thinking, then 99 out of 100, you're going to hurt somebody's feeling. You're going to see something wrong. Then you're going to regret. So even in our planning, the hadith of Rasulullah says, La aqla ka tadbir. There is no intelligence like planning. You need to build a huge building, a home. You have to have plans. Without plans, you try and do some structure, you won't get a building, you'll get a qabristan. It'll lead to your destruction. Everything will collapse. In anything we do, it takes us a few minutes first to think properly. And when a person will think, all the advantages, disadvantages, everything will come in front of him. If he requires to make mashura, he'll make mashura quickly. By thinking before doing anything, you will make less mistakes. If we start the thing first, and then we realize now we're stuck, oh, if only I thought first, then I should have not done all these things. Now it's too late, you're going halfway through, you've wasted time, you've wasted so much of money. So it'll take you a few minutes first, you ponder and think. That is why in school, they give the papers out for examination. The teacher will say, don't just rush an answer. First, look at all the questions. And the famous mistake everybody should make, answer all the questions. And after that, it was written there, you have a choice between question 3 and 4. You're only supposed to answer one, you won't answer everything. You wasted time. So if you stick ustad like me, I'll put a line through it. You never answer the question. Even though you knew the one question well. So you wrote the wrong answer. So first think. Then automatically all our problems will be solved, inshallah. So many people said, we got married, we never think first. We made a mistake too late. Not the men, the ladies said that. Jah, hubbe jah and fame. This is another culprit, another disease that we have. Jah, fame, name. Those who hanker after jah, name and fame. are perpetually imprisoned by fears of the opinions others have of them. Person is always worried about name and fame, and he's worried, what opinion they got about me? Yeah, what are they saying about me? They are always concerned about losing any of their followers. They fear criticism. They fear doing something which will displease others. This applies especially, as the Tanakh is saying, not my words. This applies especially to the mashayikh, spiritual mentors of present age. They do not want any of their mu'taqideen, followers, murids, or those who have confidence in them, to become the mu'taqid follower of someone else. That is, they're offended if any of their murids initiate an islahi relationship with another sheikh. A true sheikh will not take offense if any of his murids terminate his relationship and accepts another sheikh as his guide. You go to one doctor, and for some reason things are not working out. Go to another doctor, the first doctor won't bother, he don't want to get angry with you. You need to get your right medication or whatever. So here also, if that sheikh is hankering after fame and name, then if his murid and his mu'taqid, his followers go somewhere else, then it bothers him. He becomes restless. He becomes worried. He's not happy. Why? Because he himself has become a victim of name and fame. So this applies to all of us. Allah Ta'ala protect us from hubbi jah. In everything we do, we want name. We write one 2-line article, we're going to put our name. Yes, if there's a reason for it, then no problem. We give some donation also, must put our name. Yes, if it is for targheeb for others also to give, that's a different matter. In anything, hamara naam, our name must be there. So this is very important that we don't become victims of hubbi jah. You see, two things destroy a person. One is love for fame, and the other one is shahwat. Passions, desires, haram desires. We don't control our lusts. These two things destroy a person. May Allah Ta'ala save us. Hope or fear. Someone asks, what is better, raja or khawf? Now, raja means hope in Allah's rahmat. Raja means hope in Allah's rahmat, Allah's forgiveness, Allah's mercy. And khawf means fear for Allah's displeasure and punishment. To be afraid of Allah Ta'ala's punishment. Allah must not become angry with me. So on one hand we have raja, Allah's hope, hope in Allah's mercy. And the other side is khawf, fearing Allah Ta'ala's punishment. So they ask Hazrat, which one is better? He said, both are praiseworthy on their occasions. Like butter and honey. On its occasion, butter is better. And honey on its occasion, it will be better. Every attitude should be applied correctly. A particular attitude or condition is not best or praiseworthy at all times. A person who committed many sins, whole life, guna, zina, adultery, fornication, he drank, gambled, killed people. Now he decides to turn to Allah. At that moment you don't tell him, no, you're destined for hellfire. No. You give the person hopes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At that time you talk to him, Allah is so merciful. My brother, my sister, Allah will definitely forgive you. I think not a week goes by and a person doesn't ask a question like this. I've done this. You think Allah will forgive me? Is there any forgiveness for me? Yes, Allah will indeed forgive the person. As long as he turns to Allah and he sincerely repents. So at that time, you don't tell him about fire of Jahannam. Other times, a person has to be reminded of the fire of Jahannam. Because he has become ghafil of Allah. He was doing well, he was moving in the right way, and suddenly he went a bit off track. Now he's reminding, bhai, if you're going to go do that, then this is the punishment for that. So quickly he comes back onto track. So like butter is better in its occasion, and honey is better in its occasion. So both are good in the right time, the right place. Sometimes you will have khawf, sometimes you have raja. But in the end, you have more hope of Allah Ta'ala than the fear. When a person is passing away, that time, حَسِّنُ ظَنَّ بِاللَّهِ. Have good thoughts, my Allah is going to forgive me. That time, don't think, oh me, I lived my whole life terrible, Allah is not going to forgive me, now I'm doomed for Jahannam. No, no, no. Because that's going to make you depressed. And a person can lose his iman even then. Then you have hopes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know the story of the person who killed 99 people. And he went to an abid and he said, you think Allah will forgive me? He said, never, you did such a bad thing. So he said, if Allah is not going to forgive me, let me kill you also. And he killed him. 100 people he killed. It's mentioned in the books of hadith. But still it was bothering him. See, Allah wants to give hidayah to a person. No matter who the person is, whatever his condition is. Just the other day, somebody sent me an article of some girl, young girl, whose father was a Muslim, mother was a non-Muslim. She was from, I think, Lebanon, was one of these Arab countries. And the long story short is they migrated to some other country, parents divorced, and then she was left alone there because she was studying. And she had no connection with Islam whatsoever, besides the fact that she was a Muslim girl. All she knew, I'm a Muslim, that's all. Nothing else, no Quran, no Salat, no Dhikr, no Allah in her life, nothing, no good deeds at all. She says, I have perpetrated the worst of crimes. You can think of whatever. I have done all those evil deeds. But I visited some family who were living there, I think it was Australia, some Lebanese family, and I went. And at that time, they were viewing some thing about Ramadan. And the talk was on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and turning to Allah and not sinning, etc. This person realized, he said, everything what is being mentioned there, all pertains to me. Now Allah is going to give a hidayat. So immediately she got startled. And at the bottom they had the website of the person who was giving the talk. So she linked onto that person. And she asked the Sheikh, you think Allah will forgive me? He said, yes, indeed. And he gave all the ayats of hope of Allah's mercy and the ahadith. And she made sincere tawbah. Sincere tawbah. And the article had mentioned that she used to win the beauty contest also. And now she has changed her life. Few days have gone by, changed her life. Then she writes to him. In a very strange way, she says, you know what, I have won another beauty contest. So he got surprised. Now she was coming right and went back again to that. She says, what I meant is now I've donned the hijab. This is the real contest, beauty contest, when a person covers herself. She had no parents, no support from her mother at all. Nothing. No father support, nothing. No parental support. But Allah wanted hidayat for her. She becomes a pious Muslim sister. Donned the hijab also. And suddenly another calamity comes upon her. Another test from Allah Ta'ala. She writes to the Sheikh, I have been just diagnosed of brain cancer. But she does not lose hope in Allah. She says, Alhamdulillah, my whole life, 22 years she was, I wasted in wrong. In a matter of 3 weeks, Allah has helped me to repent to Him. I have great hopes that my Allah will forgive me. And shortly after that, she passed away. Hidayat is in the hands of Allah. Do not despise or look down upon any person. Do not despise or look down upon any person. If Allah wants the worst of worst to change, Allah will do that. The best of people who did all good things in life, Allah forbid, Allah save us, he can become a drunkard. He can become an evil person. Therefore, make shukr on iman, make shukr for Allah giving us the tawfiq of doing good deeds. A mu'min, he worries about the rest of mankind. All the time he will impart good words, he will be caring, he will show love, affection. Somebody is going a little bit out, he will, with very kind words, bring him back onto track. So this khawf in his right place and rahmat in his right place. Raja, having hope, hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll just end off with one more inshallah. Pertaining to fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very similar to what we mentioned already. Khashyatullah. Khashyatullah means fear of Allah. One is khawf, the other one is khashyatullah. It is the fountainhead of all virtue and goodness. We have to have some type of fear for Allah Rabbul Izzat. If we didn't have any fear, then we would have found it very difficult to come for Salat. We're coming for Salat, why? I fear if I do not perform my Salat, then my Allah will become displeased with me. But if you don't have that fear that Allah will become displeased with you, then you won't bother about Salat and other Ibadat. So this is the fountainhead of all virtue and goodness. It has great significance. However, even this noble attribute renders a man useless if it exceeds the limit. As I mentioned in the beginning, everything has limits. If a person is overwhelmed with fear, too much of fear, then this will also be a problem. Therefore, Rasulullah made a dua, Allahumma inni as'aluka min khashyatika ma tahulu bi baynana wa bayna ma'asik. Ya Allah, grant me that amount of khashyat, fear, that will just become a barrier between me and committing sins. Allah, grant me that much of your fear, which will act as a barrier between me and your disobedience. This implies that excessive fear will overwhelm a man, since it will be unbearable to him. It will render him useless. In other words, he will abandon his good deeds and become careless. Person is gripped with so much fear, he'll lose all hope. He say, "No, boy, I can't do it. Rather, I just leave it out. That's for all the pious people. I can't do it." So he had too much of fear. On the other hand, the yearning to meet Allah Ta'ala is also a bounty. But even here, Rasulullah SAW teaches us moderation. Who doesn't want to meet Allah Ta'ala? We all want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But again, there's a limit here. Oh Allah, grant me such yearning for your meeting which is devoid of severe illness, and such a trial which will deviate me from the straight path. So we want to meet Allah ta'ala, but make a good dua. Meet Allah in a good condition, not through getting so sick and then meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is obvious that the only way by which Allah's meeting can materialize is by maut. Therefore, yearning for maut, longing for maut, the desire for maut, for the seeking of meeting Allah Ta'ala is a wonderful ni'mat. However, sometimes a person is driven by certain circumstances to wish for death. This is a misfortune and reprehensible. It is for this reason that the yearning to meet Allah Ta'ala should also be conditioned with moderation. So sometimes it is because of some business problem, some financial problem, some domestic problem. He says, "I wish I'd just gone from here." Now he desires he must leave this world. No. A person who is gone crazy in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that desire to meet Allah ta'ala is different from this person who is affected by some worldly calamity and now he wants to just give up hope and he wants to meet Allah ta'ala. No. So both, there is moderation. There is a balance in Sharia. All these are good qualities, good attributes, but again, there are limitations. There are limitations. How are we going to know the limitations? On our own is very difficult. Therefore, we have to go back to the ulama, mashayikh, and understand where are the limitations. When do we draw the limitations? Am I exceeding the limitation? Am I being very laxed? And therefore, when they will explain to us, inshallah, we'll get a balance in our life. And until and unless this balance is not got in our life, we will go extremes. And this is not Islam, this is not Shariat. A person goes extremes. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, he says, "There's only this Sahabi of mine," or regarding Sayyidina, one person, who Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu did not see him in Fajr Salat. Did not see him in Fajr Salat. What happened? He said, whole night in tahajjud, he was engaged in tahajjud. He said, it would have been better if he was present for Fajr Salat than engaging whole night in tahajjud and becoming sleepy or becoming tired at the time of Fajr and then he oversleeps. So there's a balance. The person practices until he's able to read tahajjud and also making for fajr. Now if a person is to read whole night tahajjud, there's no balance now. He's doing an extreme. He's doing a nafil ibadat. And fajr is farz. Now he's going to miss his fajr namaz of jamaat or miss it completely. That's a problem. Therefore, there's a balance. He's trying to be good. Person wants to feed the poor, the needy. He takes all his money and gives it away in the path of Allah. Now what happens to him? He's beginning to beg from people. See, he went beyond the limitations. May Allah Ta'ala help us to create this balance in our life, this moderation in whatever we do, and gain the true muhabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah guide us. May Allah give us hidayat in every second of our life. Make dua, ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. In sirat, we're reading Surah Fatiha. Ya Allah, you show us sirat al-mustaqim. Don't make us go off sirat al-mustaqim. Ya Allah, if we're deviating, bring us back onto sirat al-mustaqim. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. Many people are going for Umrah also. May Allah Ta'ala make the Umrah asan for them. Even there's moderation. One person made, I don't know how many tawafs. 50 tawafs or something. After that, almost dying. It was like in Sakrat. He had no energy left. What happened after that? Next 2-3 days, he's in the hotel, can't eat any namaz. So don't try and prove anything. Do whatever little we can do. If somebody tells you, hey, you're hardly making tawafs, make dua for me. That's the easiest thing. Yeah, I don't see you over there. Make dua in a week. Do whatever you can do. Do whatever you can manage. Of course, what is fard, what is compulsory, there's no compromise for that. That we will make sure we do. As far as nafil is concerned, everybody's capacity is different. But most importantly, don't harm any person. Don't give taklif to any person. Whereas we are trying for some ibadat, we're trying to kiss Hajar Aswad, and you're hurting all the other people, and you're giving taklif and you're pushing them. So where's the benefit in going kissing Hajar Aswad then? You won't find our true mashayikh and Buzughanuddin doing such things. And we get a thrill. Hey, I kiss Hajar Aswad. And the SMS and the BBM is flashing already. Hey, I kiss Hajar Aswad. And I did this and I did that. MashaAllah, may Allah Ta'ala accept. Good for you. So all the thing, bragging and bragging and bragging. Allah knows best way we are moving towards. It's just riya and show, to show the whole ummah how pious, what a umrah I had. MashaAllah, we all get happy. Sometime Allah give us tawfiq of doing something. Sometime it is targheeb for your family members, for your students, etc. But all the time, you know, this happened to me and I did this. But if Allah Ta'ala doesn't accept it, then what? Sometimes a person does something simple. Simple. And Allah Ta'ala likes that action. And Allah Ta'ala gives the person so much of reward. So if you're going to those Mubarak places, the azmat of those places, the respect of these places, don't ever hurt any person's feeling in general, but specifically the people of Madinah Munawwarah. Specifically the people of Madinah, don't hurt any one of them. These are the people of the city of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I mentioned before this Sheikh Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi, it was hot summer, came out of the Haram Sharif, and because of the traffic, the person who was coming to fetch him, the driver, was delayed. This traffic, he was majboor, he couldn't help it. He couldn't do anything and just force his way through. He had to follow the traffic. Hazrat, so it is hot. He sat down on the pavement, sitting, he's perspiring profusely. And now the driver is still coming. Some of the khadim of Hazrat happened to come there, the muridim. And they started shouting, the driver, what is wrong with making Hazrat sit here? Hazrat hurt, you know. That man, poor man, he's trying his best. It's traffic. What is he going to do? But then he mentioned a very beautiful point. He said, who is Zakariya? Zakariya is nothing. I'm not even equal to the dogs of Madinah Munawwara. The dogs of the city of Madinah Munawwara are greater than me. So what's if I'm sitting a little while on the pavement waiting for the driver to come? This is akhlaq. This is tahammul. This is the sabr of mashayikh had. This is true tasawuf. May Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq and hidayat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.